This is Infants on Thrones.
Minisode.
Welcome back to another episode of Infants on Thrones. My name is Tom Perry. Today's minisode, I essentially just want to deliver the information about the Joseph Bishop sexual abuse scandal that's hitting most of the news outlets right now. I think we're on the precipice of it becoming viral. As far as I know, it hasn't hit nationwide attention. But I think if this continues to grow and more accusers come forward, this most definitely could. But what I want to do is, in this episode, is I want to read and hit and also insert some of the clips from the Mormon Leaks released audio of the confession of Joseph Bishop. And I'm going to borrow most of the information from David Schofield, who put up this blog post on Medium, and I'll include a link to his blog or this post in the show notes, along with some other articles like from KUTV, Salt Lake Tribune, and also some really powerful posts on feminist Mormon housewives from an author named Katie L., which is fantastic, by the way. And I'm just going to read it, and then I'm going to insert these clips. And so this particular episode is mostly for those that haven't been keeping up on the story, want to follow along, and maybe even get a really good dissemination of the timeline and what's going on. Because for me, it actually took a lot of work to try to get what actually has happened and what's being reported. So I'm going to be reading most of this from David Schofield's timeline. On March 19th, 2018, Mormon Leaks released an audio recording and written transcript of a December 2nd, 2017 conversation between and from an unnamed woman and Joseph Bishop, in which the woman confronts Bishop for trying to rape her back in 1984 while he was the MTC president and she was a sister missionary in training. Since then, the LDS Church responded and more details have become available. Prior to 1972, Joseph Bishop, while in an LDS bishopric, was involved in a sexually abusive activity, which he admits to in the December 2, 2017 recording. In 1972, Joseph Bishop is appointed president of Weber State College. During his tenure, Assistant Dean Jan Tyler files a lawsuit regarding equal pay. The lawsuit is settled out of court. I felt that he was a person without a sense of morality of what was right and wrong. He was almost amoral. Jan Tyler, Assistant Dean at Weber State College from 1971 to 1974. 1979 to 1982. Joseph Bishop is called as a mission president to the Argentina Buenos Aires North Mission. While a mission president, he confesses his past sexual transgressions to Church General Authority Robert E. Wells.
You were never called into a church council, church court, even after you confessed to Elder Wells. There was never a disfellowship, nothing?
No, I had confessed all those things before Elder Wells, but wanted to redo it. My struggle to make sure that everything was taken care of.
And transparent.
Yeah.
And isn't part of the repentance process, you say you're sorry to the people that you wronged, and you've never said you're sorry to me? Why? I contacted the church over the years several times. Yes, about you. I want to know what happened. Did he admit it? Was he sorry? Did he deny it? Did he call me a liar? Yeah, absolutely.
In 1983, Bishop is called as the Missionary Training Center president from 1983 through 1986. In 1984, an unnamed survivor, while a sister missionary at the Missionary Training Center, is sexually abused by President Bishop in a private room in the basement of the Missionary Training Center.
I need an apology, and I need an admission, and I need to know what was ever done, if anything. Because I have carried this, and it has destroyed my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you remember the room in the basement?
I do.
Do you remember the movies in the basement? The DVD or the VHS player on the TV? No. Do you remember tearing my blouse, pulling up my skirt, ripping the back of my skirt, and trying to rape me? but you didn't because you didn't have a full erection. You don't remember that?
No.
In 1987, after returning from her mission, the survivor reports the sexual abuse incident to her young single adult ward bishop, alleged to be Ron Levitt. Levitt, in March of 2018, recalled that the woman, quote, came to him and said Joseph Bishop abused her, taking her and another woman to a small basement room at the MTC and showed them pornography. He says that he didn't believe the survivor and claims that he didn't report the abuse to higher church authorities or law enforcement. This is the audio from KUTV Channel 2's Chris Jones, who interviewed Ron Levitt about the situation.
So you recall this young lady coming to you?
Oh, heavens yes.
Former LDS Bishop Ron Levitt was the woman's singles ward president in the mid-80s. He says she came to him during that time and told him that then MTC President Joseph Bishop was inappropriate with her.
According to her, he took and I think maybe one other sister missionary down to the basement and showed them some pornography.
What was your reaction when she told you that?
Doubt.
You doubted her?
Primarily because I'd noticed that she tended to embellish experiences.
Levitt is the first corroborating witness we've heard from since these explosive allegations were reported by Mormon Leaks on Monday. Despite what the woman told him, Levitt did not tell anyone about her story.
Did you pass along this information to the church or police or anything like that? And how come? Why not?
Primarily because I didn't think it had much credence. I wasn't going to risk sowing the reputation of someone based on that kind of a report.
Well, this report from BYU police says that Bishop did admit to detectives 3 months ago that he took that woman to the basement and, quote, asked her to show him her breasts, which she did. Last year, the woman confronted Bishop about their encounters. Bishop admitted on tape to improprieties with at least one sister missionary.
But I have this thing about sexual addiction. What can I say?
He does suggest that perhaps he may have been inappropriate with sister missionaries.
That's interesting.
Given that knowledge, does that make you think, well, maybe I should have said something?
Had I had that information then, yes, I would have.
Now, we are not the only people talking to Levitt. He says that in the last 10 days, he's received at least 3 phone calls from officials with the LDS Church asking what he understood happened during that incident.
According to the survivor, her bishop arranged for her to speak with Asay, a member of the Quorum of the 70. Asay told her that he would talk to Joseph Bishop.
I have struggled for 33 years of what you did to me, and I am only interested in an apology. I reported what you did to me to Elder Asay. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Quorum of the 70, did he ever talk to you?
No.
Did anybody from Salt Lake ever tell you that you were accused of sexual assault?
No.
You were never disfellowshipped, had a counsel?
I felt I'd repented. I confessed.
You confessed about me?
I don't know about... I confessed all of my sins to Robert Wells when I was in the mission.
1998 and forward. The survivor made multiple reports of the incident to the LDS Church. 2010. Another woman, survivor 2, reports to local church leaders about being sexually abused by Joseph Bishop, also while he was MTC president. In an updated statement, March 23, 2018, the church stated that in 2010, she was provided, quote, emotional support as well as professional counseling services. Mr. Bishop's local ecclesiastical leaders were contacted and they confronted him with her claims, which he denied, and local leaders did not feel they could pursue church discipline for Mr. Bishop. Survivor 2 was referenced in the December recording.
Do you remember the other girl with me?
Pardon?
Do you remember the other girl with me? The other one you were grooming? Her name was... Yes, that's her last name.
I remember.
Did you molest her?
Yes.
2010 continued. Survivor One also, quote, contacted LDS church leaders in an attempt to find out the results of her reports and if Bishop had been disciplined. When they told her she couldn't get that information, she made a threat over the phone about killing Bishop. Subsequently, the LDS Church contacted the Pleasant Grove Police Department. The March 20, 2018 LDS Church statement claims that the church contacted police about the sexual assault but says nothing about the death threat. In April of 2010, Pleasant Grove police contacted the survivor and reported that the alleged sexual assault was not investigated because any incident would have taken place outside their jurisdiction and because the threat, and not the alleged assault, was the reason the church contacted them. Pleasant Grove police officers interviewed her and no charges were filed. In 2012, Joseph Bishop authors Peace Be Unto Thy Soul. The book includes an endorsement by Church General Authority Robert E. Wells, the same leader to whom Bishop had confessed his sexual abuse while a mission president. 2016, March 20th, 2018 church statement reports that in 2016 the survivor, quote, contacted a stake president in Pueblo, Colorado about the incident. November 28th, 2017. Survivor contacts BYU police about the sexual abuse incident from 1984, according to the police report. December 2, 2017. Survivor visits, quote, Bishop in Arizona, posing as a writer who was interviewing former mission presidents during their nearly three-hour conversation, which she secretly recorded. The Colorado woman urged him to admit what he did to her and others. The survivor provides a copy of this recording to BYU police, according to the report. December 5, 2017. Joseph Bishop admits to some sexual abuse in an interview with BYU police. Quote, Bishop said that he went to his small MTC prep room with the woman and asked her to show him her breasts, report state. December 23, 2017. The BYU case is closed after police determine they cannot pursue criminal charges against Bishop because of statute of limitations. I have no reason to doubt the victim's disclosure and would have likely prosecuted Mr. Bishop, but for the expiration of the statute of limitations. The alleged rape occurred in 1984. At that time, the statute of limitations was 4 years. The statute remained the same for over a decade, and I am now convinced that nothing occurred to toll it. From Deputy Utah County Attorney David Sturgill's report. January 2018. The church was contacted by a lawyer representing the survivor. He provided a copy of a recording that she had made of a conversation between her and 85-year-old Joseph Bishop. February 5, 2018. Bill HB 330 is introduced to the Utah State Legislature with support from the LDS Church. The proposed law, quote, would make it a crime to record a conversation with someone without their consent. Church representatives have spoken with legislatures to express support for HB 330, which is intended to protect the confidentiality of sensitive private conversations, including those between ecclesiastical leaders and their members. LDS Church spokesperson Eric Hawkins. March 19, 2018. Without the consent of the survivor, Mormon Leaks releases the audio recording and transcript of the December 2, 2017 conversation between the survivor and Joseph Bishop. Deseret Book then promptly removes all works authored by Joseph Bishop from its website. March 20, 2018. LDS Church. The LDS Church releases a statement. The church states that the survivor, quote, served briefly as a missionary in 1984, and that, quote, these stories, timelines, and recollections of those involved are dramatically different. March 23, 2018. LDS Church updates its statement to include another sexual abuse survivor, Survivor 2, who, quote, reported the alleged abuse to her local church leaders in 2010. She was also a sister missionary at the MTC in 1984. March 23, 2018. KUTV Channel 2 in Utah claims that LDS leaders were told five times about sex allegations against the former MTC president.
Do you want retribution?
I do. I want compensation. I want somebody to say, oh my God, all these years we thought you were nuts, but you weren't.
No.
No, I wasn't.
Well, here I am before you.
Okay, well, I hope you have a good criminal attorney. Because you're going to need one.
Then recently, on March 24th, the accuser who recorded the confession of Joseph Bishop released this statement to Mormon Leaks. Quote, I'm the woman in the recording with Joseph L. Bishop. My identity will be revealed when I file the lawsuit. First, although Mormon Leaks did release my recording prior to my consent, Mr. McKnight and Mr. Dodge support my cause. It is my belief that they were concerned about all of the victims that may become forgotten if my story was silenced by a settlement and a non-disclosure agreement. I cannot fault them for that. Having this story leaked has actually helped me. I was struggling with the settlement. Part of me wanted to take it and part of me didn't. They made it easy for me. I didn't have to choose. Some have stated that I am heroic and brave. I am neither of those things. I interviewed my rapist because I was pissed off. The church told me I wasn't entitled to know what action, if any, had been taken in my reporting his raping me to several church leaders for over 30 years. I was fed up. It was neither brave nor heroic. Part of me wanted this to go away quietly, and a bigger part of me wanted to scream from the top of the mountain what he did to me. Now I get to scream. Even if the leak of the recording was prior to my consent, I do not agree that these men are re-victimizing me. I don't think they would have released the recording without giving it serious thought and weighing the consequences heavily. So as you can tell, this is an ongoing story. There is most definitely going to be more information that is going to be coming out. And I will do my best to continue to keep you guys posted. So yeah, big thanks and shout out to David Schofield and his really incredible timeline on his Medium blog, which again will be posted in the show notes. And as this story continues to develop, I will do my best to keep you guys informed and posted. Thanks again for listening.
Hi, this is Hillary.
Matthew. Brian.
Carol.
Keith.
Ashley.
And I like to play bingo online while listening to Infants on Thrones.
You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com.
And if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes.
I did.
Anyone for the closing prayer?
And please consider donating to us for as little as $1 an episode through Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/infants. Thanks for listening, and thank you so much for your support.
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.